This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 14, 2016, the first Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The devil said to him, "May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, for Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen." That is such a familiar passage, particularly during Lent. We're all familiar with that. You learn about that when you're a little child, about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. One of the things that I want to start out with is it's just not a history lesson. I point out all the time that our faith is not a matter of just learning what happened way back then and that we can be all happy now and not worry about anything. Our Lord Jesus Christ has actually given these words in Scripture through the Holy Spirit to teach us something. He's the Son of God. He can withstand temptation because he knows what to do and he knows with whom he is dealing. He is dealing with the devil. Please do never fall into the 21st century proclamation that, there's not the real devil. That's just people's lack of conformity to God because we want all the positive stuff, but none of the negative. If you are here, and I pray God you are here because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you desire to have eternity with God, you must, with all your being, understand that he has an enemy, and that is Satan. And it is a real person, a real created being who has more power than you could ever imagine, more powerful than any of the angels in heaven, and he still has it. Just because he's fallen doesn't mean he lost it. And he is powerful, and he is after you. It sounds so campy, but it is so truly real. He wants you to think it's campy. He wants you to believe he's mythological. Then you won't pay attention to him. You better pay attention to him, because it could be the difference between spending eternity with that God whom you say you love and spending eternity separated from him. We start out by ensuring that we get to that other side positively by doing what Jesus Christ did when he faced temptations. Because all those temptations, making stones into bread, kingdoms, the pinnacle of the temple, every single one of them, you will have. You will have those temptations. Not in the same exact way, but in the same exact category. And you have to appreciate that. Let's start out with this fact. Jesus permitted himself to be tempted. He permitted it. Wasn't like, he's God. He can do or not do what he wants. So we have to approach and understand that being God, he permitted himself to be tempted. We in some small way do that also. You just don't get it sometimes. Lent, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that. Whatever it might be. You are actually permitting yourself to be tempted to do the things you say you're not going to do, or to do the things, to mess up your discipline. You are tempted to mess up your discipline. Oh, I thought I could do that, but I can't. That is permitting yourself to be tempted. But we should do that. Jesus Christ did it for a much more profound reason. Start out with, why would Jesus permit himself? Why didn't he just come and be born, live his life sinlessly, go to the cross for us? Why not? Because he wanted us to learn something. And he wanted to gain something for us. One of the reasons, and first and foremost, the reason that our Lord Jesus Christ permitted himself to be tempted was to merit for us the grace of overcoming temptations. To merit for us the grace of overcoming temptations. People outside of the faith, they don't even know their temptations. Don't even know it. That's just the way people live their life nowadays. Get with the times, guy. That's not a temptation. That's just my lifestyle or whatever. There are temptations. They don't even know their temptations. For us, we have to understand, and hopefully we do, that there are temptations, and the only way that we can overcome them is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot do it by yourself. No one can. No one except God, Jesus Christ. He merited for us by enduring temptations. He merited us the grace of overcoming these temptations. Well, how does he do? How do I merit the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist and the confessional? Our Lord Jesus Christ merited by his overcoming. So we engage with him in the sacraments, the Eucharist and the confessional. It's necessary, absolutely, to gain the shield against temptations. Absolutely necessary, those two sacraments. That's why we have them. We have to understand that our Lord Jesus Christ, in granting us this merit of overcoming temptations, that we talk about this all the time, we are part of his body, the church. We have to understand that being part of that body, you are supposed to do what he did. Absolutely. And that is trying to overcome temptation. But you cannot do it without him. He says in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. That's nothing, much less endure temptations that Satan is going to throw at you. So Jesus Christ permitted himself to be tempted to merit us the grace to overcome. We just got to take advantage of it. You got to go to the Eucharist. You got to go to the confessional. That's how you overcome temptations. The second reason he permitted it was to encourage us that we not be overwhelmed by temptations. Just a little footnote. Save yourself a little heartache. Save us both a little bit of time. Just because you have a tempting thought in your mind does not mean that it needs to be confessed. Well, a lot of people, I had this temptation. Did you do it? Well, no. It's not a sin. It's to your merit. Let's move on. Like I said, save yourself a little time, a little bit of heartache. That is overcoming temptation. That's a good thing. Jesus encouraged us not to be overwhelmed, because sometimes we can be overwhelmed. Sometimes they become very gnawing. We all got our hot button issues, all right? That's all there is to it. You know, name your poison. Some of us got more than others. You got to watch it. You got to keep on your guard. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his example, encourages us not to be overwhelmed. It says in the book of Hebrews, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We have an example of our Lord Jesus Christ to not get faint-hearted when we are tempted. The third reason, primarily, that he had permitted himself to be tempted was to direct us in how to behave in temptations. I mentioned earlier, if you walk away from anything today, understand this. Satan will try to tempt you. You have to be ready for it. Jesus Christ overcame the temptations of Satan directly. See, ours are more ancillary. They usually come from, you know, our own foibles, our own will, and this, that, and the other thing. Our Lord Jesus Christ was directly assaulted by Satan himself before it happened, and he knew it was going to happen. What did he do? The same thing that we should do. When we know the temptations are going to come, prayer, fasting, not dialoguing with Satan, and knowing God's truth. Those are the four things that he used when he was tempted. Well, you know, this whole thing about Satan and Jesus, how did Jesus know it was going to happen? Because he's God. He knew that Satan had been for thousands of years, waiting for this Messiah who is going to come and try to save people from their sins. God in the garden after the fall told Satan directly, I will put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. And he talked about this coming salvation in the proto-evangelion, the first gospel in the Garden of Eden after the fall. Jesus knew that Satan was looking for him. That's why the whole, you know, we just left Christmas. very close this year, Christmas and Easter. We just left Christmas. One of the reasons that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, but a virgin who was betrothed to a man, so it appeared that she was married, really wasn't on Satan's radar screen. He's looking for something mega special. Satan, although he is all-powerful, he cannot read hearts. He does not know the future. He has a tremendous supernatural knowledge, but he does not read hearts and he does not know the future. He's got to figure stuff out. That's what makes his life so easy, because we're easy. He's got a handful of things that he uses, and it works on all of us. He's looking for the Messiah for thousands of years. And this child's born in Bethlehem. The angels come down from heaven. And you know, there have been great prophets before that they were probably like, let's look at that guy hard. Let's look at that guy hard. Little demons come running back to Satan. Hey, there's just this child born in Bethlehem. And the angels came down from heaven and told shepherds to go look at it. Pay attention to that one. Pay attention. So they're hovering around Jesus through his whole life. They're hovering around Jesus. And then, if you know your scripture, you know what happened right before this temptation thing? His baptism. At our Lord's baptism, those demons that have been following him around, looking at him, let's watch. He goes down to be baptized. Can you imagine how they hot-winged it back to the boss man in hell and said, that one we've been watching, he was baptized. The Holy One spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven as a dove and landed on him. That's him. That's him. I'm on my way. Stand aside. The minions don't have any part of it. This is me. He confronts Jesus. Jesus knows it's coming, and he prepares himself with prayer, fasting, not dialoguing with Satan, and knowing his Father's truth. That is exactly what we need to do, because Satan is active just like that now. A lot of people, oh no, Satan's for out there, out in the world where they steal cars and rob stores and shoot one another and all that kind of stuff. We're holy. There's no demons around here. This is church. There are more satanic demons in this place right now than there are anywhere else. They're watching. They don't care about the people that are shooting one another. They don't care about the people selling dope or stealing cars, doing whatever. They don't care about them. They're lost. They got them. They're looking for you. They're looking for you, and you are going to be tempted in every way that our Lord Jesus Christ was. And you have to prepare yourself just the way he did. Prayer, fasting, not dialoguing with Satan, and knowing God's truth. Our Lord confronted Satan by doing those things. Prayer, of course, fasting for 40 days, did not dialogue with Satan. Satan confronted him with temptations, and our Lord just responded with propositions. He said, hey, let me think about that for a while, or here, let me explain to you, Satan, why you've fallen short with that interpretation of Scripture. No, Satan said something, Jesus Christ said something back, end of story. We ought not dialogue with the forces of darkness, people who deny our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't dialogue with them. Here, this person who doesn't believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, let's discuss this. No, Jesus Christ is Savior. You need to accept that. That's how Jesus did it. That's how he told his apostles to do it. The word dialogue is never found in Scripture once, nor in any church cut documents, nor in any sermon by any pope until the mid-1960s. You don't dialogue with people. You're opening yourself up. Knowing God's truth. Satan uses the words of Scripture. He does not take them out of context. He just uses them. This should put you on guard for your friends outside the Catholic Church who love to chapter and verse you on stuff. Satan is chapter and versing Jesus Christ from Psalm 90, 91, if you read a newer version. He's chapter and versing him. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. He says he's given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You cannot chapter and verse your faith. Cannot do it. You need to know God's truth in its totality. That's what you need. The chapter and verse thing is extremely dangerous. That's why Jesus permitted himself to show us how to withstand temptation. Because I said before, you will be tempted in every way that our Lord Jesus Christ was. The stones into bread thing. Well, nobody's ever going to ask me to make stones into bread, so I couldn't be tempted that way. The category of that sin is temptation of the flesh. Now, whenever we hear temptation of the flesh, our minds always go to a particular place. It is much more encompassing than that. Everyone is tempted by the flesh. Temptations of the flesh are gluttony, alcoholism, substance abuse, the one where our minds always go when we hear temptations of the flesh, and they change as you get older. The temptations of the flesh for a 20, 25, 30-year-old are not the same as the temptation of the flesh of someone who is 70 or 80 years old, but you will still be tempted by the flesh to distract you from the things of the faith, to go into the woe is me mode on my physical disabilities or whatever. We are all going to be tempted by the flesh in all stages of life. Don't think it won't happen. When our Lord is presented with, here are the kingdoms of the earth. They've been given to me, Satan, and I can give them to whoever I want. Just worship me, okay? Well, nobody's ever going to offer me glory or worldly kingdoms. Nope, probably not. Guess what? Particularly in our society, we are kingdoms in of ourselves. And Satan uses the same exact category to tempt you. The attention of others. Draw attention to me. We're all guilty. It starts when we're little kids. If you got brothers and sisters, it starts at, I do that better than him. He's more this than I am. It's a temptation of the kingdom. It's a temptation to want the attention of others. And it doesn't stop when we grow up. You know, we are all in the places where we work or at school. We always talk about the good things that we've done, and we never talk about the things where we fall short. Okay? We're real big on that. And when we're talking about others, we don't have a tendency to tell everybody how good they do things. Hey, he does that better than me. We don't do that. Why? Because we are tempted, just like this, in this category. We are tempted. Not only do we not say, oh, he does that better than me, we're real quick to point out when they don't do something that maybe they ought to. Same exact category. You will be tempted like that. We want to be the center of attention. We want to be best at everything. Same category. When he takes our Lord Jesus Christ up onto the pinnacle of the temple, cast yourself down, chapter and verse in him. Cast yourself down. The angels will pick you up. God says so. That is probably the first and foremost and the most deadly of the temptations. And that is religious presumption. Presuming in yourself to know how you should approach God, as opposed to approaching him the way he says you need to approach him. Through the church, one that he says and he established that you need to approach him. Religious presumption. Oh, this person believes that way. Oh, that person believes that way. Religious presumption. The sin of that category, giving into it. You can fall into it, your own families, your friends. Oh, my friends all go over here. I'll go over here. Temptation of the flesh and religious presumption. Hear the horror stories all the time. I've shared it before. Can't say it enough because it is a heresy for a priest, a Catholic priest, to get up in front of a congregation and say, Jesus Christ died for your sins. You don't need to go to confession. Excellent. Outstanding. The path of least resistance. Hey, I might even go back to the Catholic Church. You don't have to go to confession anymore. Father said so. Father's a heretic. Father's a heretic, and he's put a lot of souls on the broad road to hell by telling them things like that. We have the confessional for a reason, and it's necessary. And to say not is religious presumption. Do not presume on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, John 3:16, man. God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that everybody should live in heaven. That's not what it says. God sent His only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in Him should not perish. Believe in Him. Believe that He gave you the confessional. Believe that He gave you the Eucharist, His body, blood, soul, and divinity that can only be imparted by a Catholic priest. Necessities for your salvation. Satan will tempt you in all those categories. Guess what? You might overcome. You might overcome a lot, and he might leave you. Scriptures say he will. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, right? He will flee from you for a time. He'll flee from you from a time. The newer version says, and they add the word opportune. He will flee from you until an opportune time. Well, when would an opportune time be? Would you get lazy? If you're doing Lent the way you're supposed to, you're probably not going to be tempted too much during Lent or right after Lent. You've got yourself going on. Prayer, fasting, not dialoguing, hopefully, with the powers of darkness. You know God's truth. You come to Mass. That's great. Satan will probably step back then. After Lent, what happens? I'm not telling you you'll live your whole life like it's Lent, although that can be very helpful. But you have to do this kind of stuff all the time. You have to pray. You have to fast. You don't ever dialogue with the powers of darkness. You need to know God's truth all the time. Because Satan is going to step away from you for a while to a more opportune time. After you get done resting in your fatal security. I overcame that. I'm a good Catholic. I go to Mass every week. So what? So what? If you go to Mass every week and you don't live the Catholic life out there. He's waiting for you to indulge in spiritual indolence. We don't use the term indolent. A synonym can be lazy, but laziness can denote something else. You can be lazy, for instance, you can be lazy at work, but you really put a whole lot of effort into your hobbies. Indolence is more, I don't want to exert myself at all for anything. And in a spiritual context, it is not exerting yourself spiritually. Oh, I go to Mass and I take my communion and I might even go to confession once a year. Once a year. When we do that, he is just waiting. He is waiting in the wings and he is going to hit you hard because we are unprepared. Be prepared. But be prepared all the time. Not just after you leave here. You need to be prepared on Monday morning, Wednesday, Friday morning, all the time. You need to be prepared. You always want him to flee from you. Because he will depart from you for a time, but he will be back. In the Father and the Son.